There are two things about learning. Two things. One is let's take a Gemara. The Gemara says that Shlomo was the greatest genius that ever lived, and Moshe wasn't. So the question is, what did Moshe have that Shlomo, that Moshe reached higher levels than Shlomo seems like? And you can tell what's different. So Moshe was more perfected. Even though he wasn't as smart as Shlomo, he was more perfected. More perfected. In our discussion, perfection right now means chesed and emes. Okay? That's what chesed and emes means. So therefore, the thing is that there are people that could be greater geniuses, more strength than you, but they will miss out on certain things because they don't have the correct emotion. If you do not have the correct emotion, it will blind you to certain information. There's certain information you will not be able to see, or it'll make you see certain information incorrectly. It doesn't allow you to see truth directly. You see truth through a haze, through a cloud that is not clear. It doesn't allow you to see it. Chesed and emes is a personality that straightens out the way you think, the way you see life. It's a certain view of life, right? It's a different view of life. Person that has chesed and emes, it's a different view in the way he looks at life and what's important in life than a person that doesn't have chesed and emes. Therefore, a person that does not have chesed and emes, the very framework in which he keeps all halacha has to be incorrect. Has to be. Cannot be correct. The framework in which you keep it has to be an incorrect framework. Has to be a wrong view of God. It has to be a wrong view of the way you keep it. It's a totally incorrect view, you see. And only the clarity comes in your development of chesed and emes, you see. And it doesn't matter how deep the mind is, it matters how clear and how much of the fog that you remove from your eyes so that you could see clearly. Then what you do see, even if it's not a very deep level, what you do see is 100% clear. So therefore, even though it's a very low level, you will see clearly and accept God 100% clearly. So you do not have the true view. If you don't have chesed and emes, your relationship to halacha is totally incorrect. And therefore, it's an abomination to God. The question is, if I don't have chesed and emes, isn't it possible that I could have a correct idea? The answer is that you operate from a certain framework in the way you look at life, right? There are certain people that they're not even aware of their own framework in which they operate. So you cannot go beyond that framework. We are trying to change the very framework or what motivates you, how you look at life. That's why we call it hashkafa, a whole view of life, the view of life. We're trying to change not certain ideas, but your whole view of life. You cannot go beyond your basic view of life. You can't go. The only way to do it is to change the your basic view of life. That is the whole purpose of Musa. The purpose of Musa is not to change actions. The result will be that your actions will change. But however, the purpose is to change your whole view of life. Actions affect, in a certain way, will affect that. It helps you to change your view. Actions will help you. But however, the basic foundation of your view must come through the knowledge of Mussar. And the first basic thing that you must start with is the personality of Chesed and Emes. That's the basis. That's where you must start. The basic foundation of a certain part of your personality. That's a different framework in the way you see life and the way you relate to life then when you get knowledge, so then the knowledge will be totally clear and you'll accept it and become part of you, 100% part of you. But if you don't have that framework, any knowledge that you get is only in the framework of that part of your personality. You understand? Let's say, for instance, I'm a competitive person. So then when I get here, the truth, it's just part of my competition. You see, it's not because I want the truth. It's now I look at it, and now I can beat other people with this knowledge because I have them more knowledge than them. So the whole framework is the whole usage of the knowledge is wrong. You understand? It's not a certain, even if I have knowledge of God, it's not God that I'm looking for. It's that I can beat others with my knowledge. You see? So the whole purpose of the knowledge is lost, even if you have a true idea. It's not the truth because of the framework in which you receive that knowledge. We're trying to clarify this, okay? The thing is that the first thing is, let's say, for instance, I start out in life, and you can't be a chesed and emes, you start out with halacha, okay? Now, halacha is a certain level of justice, right? Keep justice. That's a level before chesed, the level of justice. What is justice? Justice means that I recognize that I am part of a system. When a person starts out, a person is self-centered, and if he studies the system is only there to help me benefit myself. I see some benefit to me. But at a certain point through studying, you know, like if you work out cases in the Bava Metzia, in the civil law, so you work out a case, you say, well, there's a guy X, and he does this to Y, and Y does this to Z. Now, when you could look at yourself as only an X, Y, and Z, but not that it involves me, when you're involved in a case that you just look objectively at the case, that means I'm just recognized that I am part of a system. In other words, like this. The scientist, when he looks at a star, the purpose is not what that star, but when the star is moving, how it affects the system. And he's only interested only insofar as the system is concerned. The same thing is justice is I recognize that I am only part of a system. I'm a particular working within a system. You see? But, okay, so therefore I recognize that I'm still part of the system. That's justice. Chesed is where I recognize another individual and I deal with him as if it was me on the lowest level. You understand? In other words, like, on the lowest level, I only think of myself, and I work out with Chachma, if I'm Chacham, I work out with Chachma how to benefit myself. When you first start out with Mishlei, that is the first ideas that you get in Mishlei. You relate to Mishlei, you can't relate to something except within your framework. So when I start out, my framework is totally selfishness, and I learn Mishlei, so I see how the life of Chachma is the best possible life. But it's all for me. Chesed is where I try to help a person, and I think it out and work it through with all my Chachma to try to help him in the best possible way. And I'm happy to do that. I'm happy that I spend the time helping the guy work out his life in the best possible way. It's a particular thing where I try to help him. That is the nature of chesed. It's totally the opposite of selfishness. And since it's the opposite of selfishness, it's totally away from the world of selfishness, and that view of life that you have when you're on that level is a different view of reality, and that opens that you can't see reality without any taintedness. No, there's no taint in your view. There's no coloring of your view. There's no fog in your view. You're able to see clearly the reality. And just like you're able to look at another person and totally deal with him in a totally benefit to him, even though there is absolutely no benefit to yourself, and use all your energy to benefit him. That is chesed. What we're saying here is that you can't, let's say, for instance, the question is, let's say, for instance, I just learn, Bishlei, and I live a totally rational life, and I'm guided by the total rational, right? The thing is that there's still an attachment to the self, and therefore I still don't have a total, it's still going to block me to a certain extent to the objective view of God. There's still something missing in your objective view of reality. They were continuing the Hine Osef Levar Lechol in Yina Chesed. Okay? So he's explaining Chesed. Now the first thing he says, that the highest level of, in this paragraph he tells the different levels of Chesed. The first level is mamon, money. So to give money, that's the first level. So the first level of chesed is giving money. Second level of chesed, which is a higher level than charity, is where you do it, where you physically help another guy, where you're involved in So he's involved physically, and then he's involved with investigating for their to have a peace and benefit. The peace is psychological. The shlomam is their psychological benefit, and tovatam is the physical benefit. Right? Okay. So he's investigates the best ways to. The best way to benefit them, and that includes visiting the sick and consoling the mourners. Then the next thing is he speaks to the wretched poor people, and he honors them. And Chazal say that he who sues with words is greater than all of them. Okay? And this you could reach without any work. You just talk to a person. Okay? Just with talk. Okay? And he said, Korah Harvey Miyota's reward is very great. Okay? Now, the question is, what do you need in what is the difference in all three? What do you need in all three? Right? These three, you need a certain development. Money, I have money, and I give money. That's one thing. But, and that's very simple. Person is poor, I give them money. Goodbye, and then I go home. I don't have to really be involved. But however, if I'm trying to help somebody physically, I have to know. I have to understand what a person needs and what's good for the person. So I have to have an understanding already in a few things. One is I have to know the nature of the person. And two is I have to know how to do the thing that I'm doing for him, or how to get information for the person, how to get information for me to do it, or to educate the person that he should do it. But it's an involvement in the person. Third level, how to please, I have to understand totally the psychology of the human being. Because many times there's people that come to sue another person and they say the wrong thing. They don't know what to talk about. Or they say very nice things, but it doesn't really sue. You have to know the nature of the person, and you have to know what to say, how to sue. So there's a certain type of development in these things, in the different levels. In the person that's doing the act, there is a development in the person. The same thing is the next thing is he champions the poor, right? And what do you mean champions the poor? He gets others to help them, right? And sages say, quote, He says that it's greater when you get somebody to do it than when you do it yourself. Okay? The question is, what? Melech Tov. Melech Tov is championing the poor. Yelech Tov Alamim. Yelech Tov means a champion for the benefit. What do you mean he champions them? He talks about them. He builds up the importance of helping the poor, and he gets others to help. You see? And he says on that, it's greater that if you get somebody to do it, more than if you do it yourself. Okay, the question is why. So the way that Danny wants to say that the way it is, why it's greater, of course, he's accomplishing two things. One is he's getting help for the poor, and he's getting others to do mitzvah. So therefore, he's accomplishing two things. Okay. But insofar as the person that gets others to do, right, the melech tov, alaniyim, right, the one that champions the poor, what is his nature? What is the nature of such a person? In other words, I put the question like this. The first step is the person sees the importance of giving tzedakah, but he is not involved. Gives the money, you walk away. You're not involved. Then when you do for the other person, so you really get involved with the other person. You're involved with the person. But you don't have to really understand thoroughly the nature of the person. Third level is I have to understand the needs of a poor person, or if it's not a poor person, a person in need. Okay? You understand what it is? I understand what it is to be that way, and even though I was never that way, but my understanding of human nature, my understanding of the poor, I'm so involved that I understand their feelings, and I understand the nature and how to help them. So it's even more involved in the relation, in your relationship to the ani, to the poor person, right? Okay. Now, what about a champion of the poor? Champion of the poor means, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, that he gets others to help out. He gets others involved. What is the nature? What is that he has more? It seems to be a next level or a next step or a next stage in your development, in your relationship or knowledge of the poor. The question is somebody has said like this. Let's say for a person is a champion for the poor. In other words, he talks people into helping the poor. Now, it's very possible that this person is just getting others to do it. Like you could sometimes, or you're a good talker and you get people involved, you know what I mean? The thing is, that is the question. So in other words, it might not be a further development. It's just that you could do this. And you get others to do it. Okay. The answer is that the Rabbeinu Yonah is setting it up the way I see it. He's setting it up in a certain level of development, insofar as your knowledge of Torah, and insofar as your involvement in Chesed. In other words, there's different levels of involvement. You see. And a champion of the poor is a different level than doing it for yourself, and we have to understand how that is part of the nature of a person that's a Baal Chesed. You see? That he's a Baal Chesed. What's that nature of a person that not only does he do it, but he gets others to do it? What's in his nature? A little bit more clarity in the question. The question is like this. There's people that are motivated to do an act. And in this case, there are three levels of being motivated. But then there reaches a level where a person is so motivated that he wants wants everybody to be involved. He sees the importance of this thing to such an extent, you see, that he has to get others involved in this area. You see, in a descriptive way, could be descriptive, and that is like by Abraham. Abraham related to God, but then he reached a point where he had to get others to relate to God. His whole chesed was built on getting others to relate to God. There's a certain change in your chesed, where first you see the importance, I understand the needs of the poor person, and you go out to help them. But then you reach a level where it becomes so important, this chesed, is that you try to get others, the development in the chesed, that you have to get others also involved in doing the chesed. The question is the exact component in the nature of a person where he sees the importance of doing, and then there's a change, he sees the importance of chesed to such an extent that he has to get others involved. It's a change in the way he views helping the poor. The change in the way he sees helping the poor. So the question is exactly, what is that change in his view of the poor? It's like a higher level of sensitivity towards the poor. Like, I'm sensitive to the poor and their needs, and their three stages in which I develop to help them. But then there's a further sense, or maybe sensitivity, that I must help, I must get others to be involved in the world of chesed. Okay, Danny brought up a practical difference, and that is that at a certain point the person sees that he can't accomplish too much on his own, and therefore he gets others involved so he could accomplish much more. Okay? So the question is, so then why is this another level? I mean, this could be done at any point. You could see that it's a practical solution. But I think differently. I think it's different. I think that he's really right, but that's the next step. But the difference between the first stage, the first three steps, which is the first stage, is that I feel a responsibility to the poor. I recognize the responsibility, and there's three steps in my development of that responsibility to the poor. One is money, where I'm not involved. Two, physically I'm involved. Three, I deal with them psychologically try to help them. That's three things. Money, physically to get them all access to the physical, and three, the psychological. But all three is, I feel a responsibility. But then there's a change in the person of feeling. Not based, it's not like a responsibility. I mean, there is a responsibility, but based on the relationship to the poor that you want to undo, the difference is that I feel a responsibility to the poor, or I can't tolerate the, emotionally, I can't tolerate the idea of the poor. I get so involved and I see clearly the pain, especially the third stage after the psychological. It is so clear to me what he is going through that I can't tolerate the institution of poor. And I have to get others to undo the whole institution of poor. See, it starts out as a responsibility, a different level of responsibility. But when you get down to the psychological and you see what it's really like, and you totally understand the nature of the poor, then you can't tolerate the institution of poor, of poverty. So therefore, once you reach that level, then you have to get others involved to help you undo the undo poverty. Okay, at this point, the Rabbeinu Yonah extends poverty to unfortunate people in general. Okay? Like he says, he is the... He opens up the mouth of the dumb person. Can't talk. A blind, he makes the eyes for the blind. He's the feet for the lame. So, in other words, he's totally involved in the with anybody that's unfortunate. See, it starts with the halacha. The halacha starts with the poor, so you must start with the halacha. So the first stage is building, developing, and the poor. Then you broaden out to, once you see what it is like to be poor, then you start recognizing anybody that's unfortunate in any way, that especially when you're blind or lame, it affects you very badly psychologically too, and you sense the unhappiness, and you sense that is the next stage, a broadening out to... from poverty to being unfortunate in general. Nero Benioni says that if he doesn't have money, he can't give money, he should have a desire and a longing or a yearning to do charity and kindness when he sees the troubles of the poor and the unfortunate. And he should desire the trait of charity, and he should acknowledge those that do it even though he cannot do it. And he should be happy in the act of charity, and he should strengthen the hands of those that do it. Like it's the quote to Chazal, which says that he who cares to do a mitzvah is equal to the mitzvah itself. Okay? So the question is, what is this saying about the nature of the person, about this type of person? What is it saying? What is he saying about the idea of a person that cares about doing a mitzvah, but he can't do it? It's as if he did the mitzvah. What is the Rabbanion saying about the nature of this person? So the thing is that the question is like this. You might feel that if you can't do it, you might feel that you're not responsible to do it. Okay? And yet, Rabbeinu Yonah is saying at this stage that you feel responsible to do it. Right? Okay. What is the nature of, well, we want to know what the nature of that person is that's at this point. Even though, since, look, he says, look, I would love to do it, but I can't. So goodbye. He says, no, that's not enough. You can't just say goodbye. He says you should feel a longing. You should feel a desire like you could do it. Right? And you should want the trait of charity, and you should acknowledge and praise the people that do it, and you should be happy when it's being done. This is what is necessary. You can't just walk away. So what's the nature of that person? Right. The thing is that yesterday we said that chesed and emes has to be a second nature, like that's this whole framework in which you operate. It's not a matter that you could force yourself to feel this way. This feeling is part of your nature. That this is the, like, the final step, where it's part of your nature that even if you can't do it, you're involved with the situation. You're happy that it's being done, and if it's not being done, you're very sad and you're yearning that you wish you could do it, even though you can't do it. You can't just say, I can't do anything, so it's not my responsibility. That if you feel it's a responsibility, that's the first stages, where you feel it's a responsibility, so then, okay, this is not my responsibility. I could do so much and no more. But then there's a development where I'm attached to the institution, where I can't tolerate the idea of these unfortunate people and their lack of satisfaction in life, where they're not satisfied and they can't be satisfied because of their situation in life. This bothers me. You see, that becomes my nature. He's describing the person on that level where chesed became second nature. And it's the framework in which he operates. So even where he can't help a person, he might read about a person, he feels like he feels bad. He feels all these ideas, all the yearning, and if somebody does help, he's happy that there's somebody got it done. It's not a responsibility. It's that a feeling towards these people that it must be done. It's a different nature. That is the nature of chesed. See, that is when you reach the nature of chesed. If you don't have this feeling, then you, at this point anyway, that is, then you don't have the highest level of chesed. In other words, there's different levels of chesed. The first level of chesed is money. I'm not involved, I give tzedakah like halacha. Second level, I get involved with chesed itself, where I help people. Somebody has to do something, I help them out, you know what I mean? Yeah. The third thing, I get involved, I see psychologically, if I understand them psychologically, and I understand what they're lacking and their needs, so I can help them better. It's a higher level of my responsibility. But then there's a change in my nature where I get totally involved in, like, I can't tolerate the idea of a poor person or any person that's unfortunate, that he's lacking in life. He can't satisfy it because of his situation. He's unfortunate, means he can't satisfy his needs. In other words, sometimes you're so unhappy, even if you have things, it's not a real satisfaction. You don't really feel satisfied, no matter what happens. You see, because of the situation, it bothers him, this thing, to such an extent that either he gets others involved, and even where he can't do anything, he feels for the person to, he just feels bad, he wishes he could do something. And this is part of the development of chesed, and it's a result of the knowledge of, in other words, it's, as you develop, there's a change in your personality, that this is what happens. You see, he quotes the pasuk, "Ki imasos mishpat v'ahavas chesed." Ahavas chesed, a love of chesed. What do you mean you love chesed? It means, love means that it's part of my personality, my nature, is to do it. Okay? I am not sure if being a melech tov al aniyim, meaning being a champion of the poor, is the same level as this level that we're talking about now, or it is a step before. According to the wording, it seems like it's a step before, but I don't see the difference. We're going to clarify the paragraph of Vehine Osef Levar Lecha Alanyin HaChesed, okay, that I will continue to clarify the subject of Chesed or kindness, okay? I like to clarify that a little bit. Okay. There are, when a person starts out in the life of Torah, okay, she starts out from an emotional point of view. In other words, it has to fit in to his framework of his emotions, okay? In other words, whatever his emotions are, let's say it's competition, and he goes to yeshiva, so he's, when he learns in a competitive framework. Then he's in a religious framework, so then he learns because God commanded him. But that's the framework, okay? Now, the thing is that the change comes that there's a certain sense of reality. In other words, where truth takes over. Through his studies, he develops his sense of truth. And instead of the motive being his psychological basis, but his framework becomes the truth, honesty. Okay? So he sees the truth, and he follows the truth. Okay? Now, when he makes decisions on truth, so he starts analyzing it, and the first thing he realizes that he has to do is help the poor, give charity. Okay, that's the first level. Okay? but he's really not involved. He really sees the importance of helping the poor, but then he starts seeing the needs of the people, because reality tells him he has to do chesed. So he sees the needs of the people. So then the second level is that he does with his body. He helps the person physically to get to a higher level, you know, to remove, to satisfy his needs, or to remove the problems that he has. Okay? That's second level. Third level, he starts realizing, as he goes deeper and analyzes these people, he realizes that they have conflict. So then he tries to appease them. Okay? Then he realizes the pain is so great that it's not enough only that he could take care of it. He has to organize. So he goes out and becomes a Melech Yosher for them. In other words, a champion of the poor. He champions the poor by advocating others to help also. He gets others to help. All this is when he sees reality. And it's the development of a search for reality. Okay, the truth. Okay, but however, this development, his emotions are still not in line with this idea. In other words, he does the act based on reality, but he's in conflict. It's a battle. It's a battle between his reality and his emotions that doesn't want to do for others, but he just wants to do for himself. I mean, he'd rather do what he feels like doing, whatever is important to him that he feels like, whatever his framework of his emotions or his selfishness lies, so he feels like doing that, you see? But however, reality dictates that he should do the chesed, so he gets involved in chesed and does these things because he sees it's reality, okay? At this point, there can be a certain change in the person, where the person's personality is in line with the ideas of chesed, meaning that he feels bad, that he actually feels bad when the person, let's say I can't help the person, and he still feels bad that the person is not getting help, or he feels good when he sees somebody else that he couldn't take care of it, but he sees somebody else taking care of it, so then he feels good. That is shows that there's a change in the nature of the person. In other words, there's two stages here. One stage is where I'm guided by my mind, and my mind tells me that I should follow chesed. But my emotions are not in line. Then there's four steps in your understanding of the needs of the people, and that develops as you understand the needs of the people, and reality dictates that you should do this. Then there is a change where your emotions get in line with these ideas so that you actually feel bad when these people are, when you see a person that he's in need. Okay? That is what the Rabbeinu Yonah is saying to this point. The question is, what about the trait of emes? Since we said before that the trait of chesed and the trait of emes can never, is two separate traits. They don't cross. I'm not talking about the trait, the development of emes. There's a certain development of emes, of the trait of emes, but you must operate in a rational way. It must be in the framework of truth. If it's in the old framework of your old emotions, so that's just a nice person. That's not the development of Torah. Development of Torah means through your learning of Torah, you develop. Now, the first step in the development must be truth. You must know what reality is. You see? Then there is a development in the reality, but when you start accepting reality, I'll give you an example. The Mishlei. How does the Mishlei work? Mishlei works like this. Every human being is based on two drives. There's two drives in every human being. The drive for pleasure and avoidance of pain. Every act is desire for pleasure to avoid pain. Every act that you do. Okay? Now, the thing is that most people, they go for the immediate pleasure, and they avoid immediate pain. But they can't make a decision on the future because that's only in the mind. They're not experiencing it, you see? So the Satyagraha says in an introduction to Mishlei is that a person has to train himself that he should attach to the future pleasures and future removal of pain. You have to do an act now to avoid pain later. Okay? Now, so what does that mean? That my mind tells me that I will experience something bad later, but my experience now is saying I should do the act, I should enjoy it. So where my mind is strong enough to make the decision, you see, then that once he makes that decision based on the mind, that's why we call him a chacham. A chacham in Torah is not who has a lot of sciences and math and science. It's a person has a lot of knowledge in Gemara. It's a person, a chacham is a person that could make a decision based on his mind contrary to what he feels now, to what he's experiencing now. He can make that decision. That is a chacham, where the mind becomes stronger than the emotion. Now, he's working on a totally selfish level, this thought. This person is working on a totally selfish level. He's only doing it to satisfy two things. The pleasure, but his mind tells him that the pleasure in the future is more than the pleasure now. There's certain pleasures worth working for, and there's certain pains in the future that are so great, it's better to give up the pleasure now. So it's totally selfish, you see, but we still call him a chacham. He's guided by the mind, you see. Does he have the trait of MS? Well, then we'll have to go through everything what the Rabbeinu Yonah said about MS. He might not have. That's the development, the trait of truth. But before you could have anything, you must be guided by the mind. By the study, what is study of Torah? Study of Torah is the mind, and the way we develop is through the study of Torah. So there must be where there is a certain reality in the mind. You must be called the Chacham according to Shlomo. You see? Then when you do that, so then you could then you could develop. That is the beginning. Then you could develop the trait of Chesed, and then you could develop the trait of Emet. But it's built on the mind, where the mind is guided by the mind. That you are guided, your decision is guided by the mind. You see? That's what he's saying. But then there's a development, once you see the importance of the mind, there's a development in the trait of MS. There's a certain trait, but as we get on, we'll see the different traits. Some of them are very high levels, and not everybody can reach them. Okay? But everybody must make this beginning. This is the beginning where you call the Chacham, where you can make a decision for your own selfishness, for your own benefit. You're only thinking of yourself, nothing else. You're thinking of your pleasures and an avoidance of pain. That's all you're thinking of. But the mind tells you that it's better to be guided by the mind and not to act based on what you're experiencing now. Because if you base on what you're experiencing now, you'll pay the price. The last point, what he says, he quotes from the Navi and from Chazal. I'll just take the last point. He says, "Lefichach nema," therefore it says, "the nefesh kisakris," person that sacrifices. So the Chazal interpreted is that we attach to him as if he sacrificed himself. When a poor person brings, like, you know, he hardly has money, he's really taking from his very, what he really needs. Sometimes you make a sacrifice, so I have money for myself, and then I have extra money to help others, or to bring a sacrifice, or to do a sacrifice. But a poor person, when he does a sacrifice, he's taking from his needs, his very needs. So since he's taking from his basic needs, so therefore when he sacrifices, we say that's equal to sacrificing his own soul. So what the Rabbeinu Yonah is trying to say is that even though you don't do a lot, even though you do very little, like also he says before, he says a poor person that he gets money from charity, he himself has to get charity. He should give a little bit to charity. Why? Because it's not how much you do, but the ultimate is who you are. Who you are, you see? That's the ultimate. So how you relate to tzedakah and how you relate to chesed, to kindness, and all these things that we just... The act is important because you feel for others, or your mind tells you that you should do it, you see? But however, the thing is that the essence is how you relate to this. That's who you are. It's not how much you do, but how much you relate to this situation. That is who you are, and that is what you're trying to develop. In other words, you're trying to develop a new type of personality based on Torah. That development, that personality, that is what we're after. That is the essence of your development and who you are. The first step that you have to do is really get involved in what are the needs of people. I would say the first thing that you need is to recognize who you are. Many times people don't understand themselves, what their own needs are. They can't help anybody. I mean, because since they don't know, so they could harm others. The first thing you have to know is your own needs. You have to understand what it means to lack. You didn't have something. Stop and think about your feelings. How you feel when you don't have something you really want. And then double that where you don't have the basic needs. When a person doesn't have the basic needs, you see? You can't help somebody until you understand when you really understand what lacking means and what it takes to remove, to satisfy what you're lacking. You can't say that the best person that could do it is a poor person. It's a person with understanding. You could be a wealthy person, you understand? But you understand what it means to lack, and then you could turn, once you see it in yourself, then you could understand the experience of lacking, and then you start seeing it and you interpret how people lack, how it affects their lives. When you see it in others, you start analyzing and seeing it in others, so then you start seeing how they're lacking. That's the four first stages, what Rabbeinu Yonah. First you just see, well, a person needs money. Okay, I'll help him. He doesn't see the idea that well. Then as he sees the idea of what it means to lack, he says, boy, you know, he starts saying, boy, I should really help that guy, you know, whatever he needs physically, whatever he needs to... Person needs a person like this loading his donkey. You know what I mean? A guy's loading a truck. Okay, guy's loading a truck. You know what the guy's going through? Say, oh, I'll help the guy. You know what I mean? You see, you help a person because you see, you understand how the person feels when he doesn't want to do something, or even if he does want to do it, it's still a difficult thing. It's a burden. So you help the guy with his burden. You recognize it's important, but you have to understand. You see, what he's going through, the third level, definitely, the conflicts of a poor person, or the conflicts of a person in trouble that is not successful in certain areas. These conflicts that a person is going through, you have to understand. But you have to have had a conflict to yourself and understood what a conflict is. You understand? I think every human being has a conflict. They know what it is. They know the experience. The only thing is, sometimes you could realize that somebody has more conflict than you are, more trouble than you. The situation is worse. The psychological makeup is worse. I mean, there's different things. So then that's where knowledge comes in understanding another person's need. That would be the third level. Then the fourth level is the quantity. You see it's all around and you have a desire to help these people. So then you go out and start advocating this idea. start discussing this idea on different levels and different aspects and different angles, so that people could relate to it. You have to know how to talk to the people. That's also that's a fourth type of knowledge, how to talk to people to on their level to get them involved in the world of chesed. See, but that all these things take knowledge. The fifth level, the last step, is you're affected by all this knowledge. You're affected where it affects your whole personality, and your emotions become in line with these ideas, and you actually feel bad. But that's a result of thinking this way, thinking along these four stages of the needs of a person in need. Okay, what his needs are and what his conflicts are. I'll give you an example. Let's say, for instance, a person is run by conscience. You know, he's run by his conscience, and he helps people because he feels some identification with people, psychological. Now, when he talks to certain people, he'll tell them something like this. He says, "Why don't you accept life? You know, you got to accept life. You know, like, or you got to help people. You got to help people. Go help people. You know, like, why can't you help people? Why aren't you a nice guy?" You see, he doesn't understand the needs. He just goes by conscience, like it's a drive, like a force. But he doesn't understand. It's not based on the understanding of people. He doesn't understand. It's not from their understanding. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand because he himself doesn't understand his own needs, and he's driven by a conscience. So since he himself is driven by the conscience, and he forces himself, and he says, "You got to do this," and he talks to himself that way too, and that's the way he talks to others. Such a person cannot get to a level of chesed because he doesn't even understand his own needs. He doesn't recognize that he's overlooking his own needs. He's denying his own needs, and he's just you know what I mean? Like, well, let's say a person is driven for success. Sometimes there's a tremendous amount of pain. He overlooks that because he's so driven on the point of success that he doesn't recognize his own needs. He doesn't know. What is even sometimes eating? He'll overlook eating. Why? Because he's not aware of his own needs. The only thing that he looks at is success. You see? So people overlook their needs because of different drives. Even in wanting to help a person, it's since you don't notice your needs and you're driven, so that's the way you talk to others. Come on, he could live with it. Let's go. Just move on. Move on. You know what I mean? Like, you don't realize your own needs that sometimes you haven't moved on, but you just ignore it. You see? And that's how you get others to do. That's a person that's relating to others without understanding needs because they don't understand their own needs or their own conflicts. Okay, the next paragraph we're going back to the trait of truth, and he says that if a person makes up his mind, once you make up your mind, you must accept. In other words, he brings a Gemara. The Gemara says is that if you're buying something, that once you buy it, you have to pay Maisa on it. So he says you could lift anyone that you want to because you want to investigate what's the best one to buy. So you keep investigating, and you can investigate all day long, and you're not obligated in the masa. It says, but once you make up in your mind that this is the one you want to buy, but you didn't say anything, you didn't make a deal, only in your mind, halachically, you understand, you're not even obligated halachically. But the thing is that the person on the level of Yirah Shamayim, so he's obligated already in masa. Okay? So the question that we'd like to analyze is, what is the difference between the person that's only halachically honest, that he goes into business, he makes a deal, he will never lie, you don't even have to sign anything. Once he makes a deal, he gives his word, he'll do it. That's it. That's one type of honesty. There's another type of honesty that once I conclude in my mind, I didn't say anything to anybody else. And there are other Gemaras that talk, there are different cases about this, about what people made up in their mind, and they made and once they made it up in their mind, even though the other person would have paid more for it, there's a case where he would have paid more, you know, he still accepted the lower amount because he made up in his mind when he got to that point that he would accept it, you see? So therefore, once you make up in your mind, so that becomes the that becomes a level of truth, okay? Now, the question is, I mean, I didn't make a deal yet, so what's the big deal what I've decided in my mind? The whole thing has to do with a deal. It's an honest thing. It's an honest thing. I'm making a deal. And I didn't make the deal yet, right? What is this thing that I complete in my mind? You understand? So I make a decision in my mind. What does that have to do with truth? What is it? Well, where lies is that the higher level of truth? There are two ways in making a deal. When you make a deal, there's two ways of making the deal. One way of making the deal is you want to get the most that you can get. Whatever it is, whatever you can get out of this, you want to get the most that you can get out of it. Another thing is that you evaluate what the true value of the thing is. Once you make a decision on what you want and the true value of it, then you accept it. You see? The difference, one is that I don't make a decision on truth, on what it is. I'm making a decision on how I can get the most out of this deal. You see? I might make a decision on one, that is what I want, but it's, if I can get a better one, I'll get a better one. You know what I mean? I always want more. It's not truth. It's just trying to get more. You see? You're not honest. You see? Honesty means when I look at the object, I get the true value of the object. It's the object that I want. There's two things. One, in the case that we're talking about here, I first have to make a decision on the type of object I want. Right? So once I get to that object, I make the decision because I know what I'm looking for. And two is, once I decide on the amount, so then because I decided on the amount based on what I believe the true value is, so then that is my decision. That is honesty. But most people do not operate that way. Most people, the way they operate is that they're trying to get the most in any given situation. They don't evaluate the true value of the thing. They don't evaluate what they really want. They just evaluate what's the most that I could get in this situation. But they don't. That's not truth. That's just grabbing. You understand? It's not truth. It's not analyzing the thing objectively. It's not relating to the thing objectively. You see? Truth is where I make a decision on what I want. And I don't have to, and I could look all day long. I could, until I get what I want. And two is I have made a decision on the value. So once I make a decision, I can't back out on the value either. That is why it's part of a level of truth. We're trying to clarify why this has to do with MS. Because the thing is that if the guy wants more and he's grabbing as much as he can, that sounds like it should be on the chesed, not emes, right? So the thing is, what we want to say is like this, is that in a situation of business, the true situation is the value of the object. The value of the object is what we're discussing, okay? Now that is honest. I mean, either it has a certain value or it doesn't have a certain value. Now, therefore, when the buyer thinks about it, he must think about it in terms of the value, and the seller must also think in terms of the value of the object. But if you are thinking not in terms of the object, but you're thinking in terms of how much I can get out of it, so then I'm not dealing with the object. I'm just trying to get as much. What does a crook do? A crook takes away your money, tries to get money that is not, does not belong to him, right? Now this all, and that's dishonest, right? Now this also, when I'm selling this thing I'm trying to get. I'm not interested in the object. I'm interested in getting as much money as possible. So I'm trying to get money out of you that's not attached to the object. So halachically and legally, I mean, of course, you can't run a system that way. But insofar as your trade of honesty is concerned, you see, you're being dishonest because you're not dealing with the value of the object, but you're dealing with how much I could get. That's why it is in the realm of honesty and not in the realm of chesed. In other words, like this. When I'm selling an object, the object has a certain value. It has nothing to do with chesed. I have the right to sell an object and have a right to make a profit. But however, what the profit should be, there's a certain realm in the world of business of how much you could make on an object. Beyond that, it's just that I'm not dealing with the object. I just want to get as much money out of you as I can. Okay? So therefore, that is dishonest. Just like you say a crook is dishonest. You wouldn't say that he lacks chesed. I mean, you can't even talk in the realm of chesed. The guy is not being honest. He's stealing from you. He's not being honest. He cheats you. He's not being honest. You wouldn't put that in the realm of chesed. Chesed is where I give up, where I don't owe you anything. It's not business, but you need help, and I give up on my needs. I give up my needs to help you out. This has nothing to do with giving up on my needs. This has to do with being dishonest. The dishonest thing. What I want to say is that chesed is giving up on my needs, okay, to do for somebody else. And the opposite of that would be where I'm just doing for my needs. I just do for myself, okay? I don't think about others, but I just do for myself. But honesty is where I just don't recognize you as a, I don't recognize you as a individual. I don't take your rights as an individual into consideration. See, in other words, if I don't have chesed, I could still consider your rights. I still recognize you have rights, so I could be honest. Dishonesty is where I don't recognize you as a human. I don't recognize you, and I could, just a matter of getting as much as I can out of you. You don't count, you see. That's dishonest. I think we can take it a step further and put it this way, okay? There is justice and there is chesed, okay? What is justice? Justice is that we're all equal. Equal, right? Like 2 + 2 = 4, right? Equality, right? Now, if I say that I'm better than you, then I'm being dishonest because I'm saying that 2 + 2 = 5. I'm saying 2 + 2 = 5, and knowingly I do that. I'm not saying where it's a mistake. I mean, I can go out to cheat a person. That's equal to saying 2 + 2 = 5. That's dishonest. I'm being dishonest about the situation. Because justice is recognizing equality, that I am equal to you. You see? I am no different than you. In other words, like this. When I look at the stars, when a scientist looks at the stars, he's not interested in this or that star. He's only interested in how the star affects the ideas of astronomy. Now, the same thing, justice, is that I look at you and me as totally equal, and I'm only interested insofar how we affect the system of justice, you see? So therefore, if I take from you something that doesn't belong to me, you see, so then I'm saying we're not equal. That is what we mean by dishonest. I'm saying that we're not equal. That has nothing to do with chesed, you see? Now the same thing here. halachically, you can't operate in the mind of a person. How could you bring what's in the mind of a person to court? But however, insofar as the person that's working on the trait of honesty, then he must take in consideration how he thinks. He's working on the trait of honesty. He has to see how he thinks. Now, if he thinks that that this object has no meaning to me, but only a means of taking more from you, as much as I can from you, more than the object is worth, why is that different than stealing? Why is that different than stealing? I say that we're not equal. I'm saying we're not equal. I'm saying I'm better than you. That's dishonest. You see? That's why it's dishonesty. All right. The question is that I said that chesed is the opposite of chesed, is where I only think of myself, not of others. While the Rabbeinu Yonah says at the beginning, near the beginning of Pasuk Gimel, he says that if you have the trait of chesed, then definitely, certainly, you'll be careful to not harm people with action or words. And he says, for instance, zorius, viciousness and hatred and jealousy, all these type of traits. I'm just clarifying the question. We wanted to say that chesed is the opposite of chesed is selfishness. Okay? And the Rabbeinu Yonah says that he doesn't use the term opposite, but he says that you certainly, if you are a chesed, then certainly you'll remove these traits of cruelty or viciousness and hatred and jealousy, haughtiness, all these things that are in relationship negative traits towards people. So since chesed will remove the traits, it seems to be that chesed and these traits are opposite. The Rabbeinu Yonah is really right in the sense that if you have if you don't have chesed, that means you're selfish. What does selfish mean? Selfish means that how I feel comes first. Now, a person doesn't have all these traits, but he has some of these traits. He might be azarius. He might not be. He might have a hatred. He might have jealousy. He might have cruelty. You know what I mean? He might have haughtiness. He could have, but that is what selfishness is. Selfishness is that my personality comes first before, my needs come first before your needs. Okay? There's two types of needs. There's practical needs and there's psychological needs. So therefore, that brings us back to the question of how is, when I'm dishonest, when we said dishonest, where I, when I make a decision about a thing and I try, in other words, I don't make a decision about the thing, but I just try and get more and more, that is not dishonest, but that would be selfishness, because I want to get more. So, and the Rabbeinu Yonah said that selfishness and honesty, chesed and emes, is two distinct traits, and they never meet. Okay? So the question is, it seems to meet over here. Okay? That's the question. That's what's bothering us. Is that correct? The answer is that also earlier, the Rabbeinu Yonah said that one of the traits of truth is not talking Lashon Hara. Now, definitely Lashon Hara comes from, all the Rishonim, I'm sure Rabbeinu Yonah agrees. I didn't see him on this area, but the Lashon Hara comes from jealousy, it comes from haughtiness. I mean, all these traits is Lashon Hara, and here he says it's part of Emes. So the question is, and he says that they both can't meet, truth and Emes and Chesed can't meet, and here definitely they're meeting by Lashon Hara. And we answered, early on the tape, we said that there's two aspects to Lashon Hara. So, and we said there are two aspects to Lashon Hara. One is the aspect of chesed, where it's the opposite, where I'm going to have the opposite of chesed with all these traits. That's one way. But then there's another way that it has to deal with truth, and that is that I don't check out the information and I am not 100% sure I accept Lashon Hara without really investigating the facts. You see, I accept the Lashon Hara. That really, I should say, when I hear Lashon Hara, I really don't know. I have no information. I can't make a decision on it. That would be honest. But however, if to investigate, I have to know, first of all, I have to know, since the guy that told me might not have seen it, he heard about it, I have to know how honest this guy is, and if he exaggerates, or if he lies, or if he makes mistakes, and then the person that he heard it from, that's one thing, that definitely has to deal with truth. And then people, when they talk Lashon Hara, they don't only give facts, they give reasons. They give reasons why the guy did it. So even if I accept the fact, the question is, do I investigate the reason? Well, without thinking, I accept the reason. So that has to do with honesty. See, that has to do with honesty. Now, I say the same thing here. The fact that I want to make a lot of money and I don't care about the truth, that has to do with greed, which would be the opposite of chesed. That's true. But the method that I'm dealing with here, is the method of truth. Truth means that I'm not being honest about business. Business is the value of an object. When I'm selling an object, what's the value of the object? Okay? Now, there could be a discrepancy between buyer and seller to a certain amount. But however, when you do not think of the object itself, when you don't think of the object, but you just try to get as much as you want, that is being dishonest in business. That's dishonest. Because it's true, the source, the motive might be jealousy. But the activity is a dishonest activity because I'm not dealing honestly about the situation. When I'm selling, I'm saying, well, this is the value. It's worth, this thing is not worth $5. I'm selling it. I say it's worth $20. I'm being dishonest. It's not worth $20. And I'm being dishonest about the value of the object. Okay? So therefore, that is being dishonest. So there might be, in a particular situation, there might be two aspects. One deals with the aspect of chesed, and one is dealing with the aspect of emes. Okay, the question is, I think we have chesed pretty well defined. Chesed is basically the opposite of selfishness, where you only think of yourself and you don't think in terms of the other person, but you only look at life through your own eyes and only yourself. Chesed is the ability to recognize the other person's needs, and you're able to give up on yourself so that you could help the other person. Okay? So that's the chesed and the opposite. Okay? Question is, what is emes? We want to say emes is not just truth. Truth is part of it, but it's a certain honesty. Okay? Honesty and dishonesty. So we wanted a little bit more clarity on what we mean by the word emes. What do we mean by honesty? Okay, Yishai wants to say that honesty means that my total desire is totally in line with reality. My total desire is part of my personality, my framework in which I operate, is I want to make sure that I am accepting the objective reality and that there is no mistake. That's my nature. I'm driving for that. I'm striving. In other words, there's one thing that I know there's an objective reality out there, and I want to know what it is. But then there's the personality. Honesty, that's truth. Where I know there's an objective reality, and I search for that objective reality. Honesty means that my total personality is driven and drawn towards making sure that I don't accept and I don't relate to the physical world except in a totally honest way. That's why, let's say in my mind I make a decision that the value of this object is in a certain way. That's reality. Once that becomes a reality, I must live by that reality. I have no choice. That is the personality of honesty, of MS. It's not just searching for the truth, but I can't, like, for instance, by Lashon Hara. Lashon Hara, I can't accept. Honesty tells me I can't accept Lashon Hara because I didn't do a thorough research in the information. I don't have all the facts. So my personality will not allow me to accept that type of information, because my personality is that I'm searching for the object of reality. You see? So therefore, that is the personality of honesty. The question is like this. That, let's say, for instance, a person investigates an object and thinks about it, then makes a decision, only in his mind. Then later, before he had time to make a contract to buy the object, he realizes he made a mistake. Okay? The question is, can he retract and say, no, I made a mistake in the value? I believe the answer would be no, that he can't. Once he makes the decision, according to the way I understand the Gemara, well, once he makes the decision, even if he comes to a higher level, because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Birev Anir. He investigates and puts it down, investigates and puts it down. Once you make the decision, you can't back down. Okay? Question is why? Because their honesty attaches not to the value of the object, but it attaches to the world of business. In the world of business, it's understood that once you give your word or once you sign your name, that business deal is done. So it is that reality that I accept in my mind too. That once I made a decision, it's equal to have made the deal at that level. So therefore, once I have made the deal at that level, it's understood in business that you can't back down. It's too bad. If you made a mistake and you signed your name, so that is the objective reality of business. So my mind is that once I make a decision, that is now it's the objective reality of business. It's as if I signed my name. That is the system of business. So therefore, I must accept it. Okay? But however, so you ask, what about if he, let's say he makes a decision that it's worth $10. Then he feels that, and he's the seller, and he feels he could sell it, it's really worth $8. And he backs down. He says, look, I know we made a deal of 10, but I'm going to give it to you for 8. Right? There, we would change, right? But that's recognized in business that you could do that. That's recognized that everybody would accept that. But they don't accept the opposite. That's the way of business. Okay? So that is the objective reality which his personality has accepted, and therefore he has the trait of truth, he has the trait of, according to Rabbeinu Yonah, Yirei Shamayim, so therefore he must live by that because that's his personality. We're not talking about a person that says, well, I want to be a Yirei Shamayim, so whatever decision I make in my mind, I'm going to do it. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about that his personality is that way. That's his personality. That's the framework in which he operates. Okay? We're up to the second half of the pasuk, Gimel. And he says you should tie him around your neck, and you should write him on the tablets or the pad of your heart. Okay? So the question is, what does that mean? Okay. First one is you should tie him around your neck like a necklace, okay? So the Rabbeinu Yonah gives three reasons. One is you should talk about, he says that this means, he says that you should tie him around your neck means you should speak about him, constantly speak about him. He gives the three reasons for talking about it to others. One is you should review. Okay? What is the difference between review and memorization? Memorization is without the mind. Review is that you think about it. You go through each step and you're thinking about it. Memorization is the mind is not working. You just go over it. Like you can memorize a poem in Chinese. You know what I mean? Even though you don't know Chinese, you can memorize a poem. That's memorization. The mind does not work. Okay? Review means that it is working. Okay? That's the first thing. Second thing is, he says that you should talk about it because that will get others, by talking about it, it will get others to get involved in these ideas, and the ideas of chesed and avoda, whatever you're talking about. You see? So therefore, it's a benefit to others when you talk about it. So there's two benefits. The third thing he says that this will be for a testimony, as a testimony that this testifies that the speaker and what he really believes are one. Why? Because the person praises and talks about a lot that which is very dear to his heart. That which is very dear to the person he can't stop speaking about. Okay? So therefore it testifies to the fact that he's constantly talking about these ideas, that this person is a person that these ideas are real to. Okay? Now the question is, should you do it for this reason, that people should know that you're that inside of you, what you really feel, what you're saying, are the same thing? One answer is that if people will accept that you really believe it, then that will make them listen to you more, and therefore practically it will help you. It'll help you reach others if you are if you feel the same way that you speak, and that people don't sense any conflict between what you're saying and what you really hold. That's one possibility. In other words, the necklace, the question is, what does the necklace have to do with speaking? Because the necklace is around the neck. So therefore, since it's around the neck, it represents the speaking, where you speak from. That's the way he learns the metaphor as speaking. So now speaking about it, he says, has three benefits, and he mentions the three benefits. It is possible also that he's not saying that this is why you should do it. It's not a practical thing to cause you to do, but it's a result. If a person that talks, in other words, when a person speaks constantly about sports, it shows something about him. What you constantly speak about shows who you are, what interests you when you talk about, when you see what he's constantly talking about, it shows who the nature of the person is. So he's saying it's a result, not a cause to do it. I mean, the reason why you should do it is to develop and to develop yourself, or to get others to get involved in these ideas. Those are reasons that you should talk about. But however, the third thing is not a reason. I mean, it's possible. It's a practical thing that if you do that, people will accept you. Like we said before, it could be practical. But I say that it's not the motive. It's not a motive that you should do it for this, or let's put it this way, it could be a lo lishma. Lo lishma means it's an incorrect motive, so therefore if you have to, you have no choice. But however, really he's telling you that it's a result. The result of living the life of Torah will be a natural result that you can't help talk about it. You can't help, this is your life. Like something that you're involved in, that you're attached to, person can't help talking about. Sometimes you'll notice when two guys in yeshiva have an argument, they start raising their voice. Not because they're angry, because the person, what he holds, he's attached to. And he has to defend, and he has to verbalize. You see? So he gets very excited about it. Now you could tell when a person, what he really holds, what he gets feeling about, he has to talk about it, he can't stop talking about it, you see? And that's how you can recognize it. He gets excited about it, he defends it, like he gets into an argument, he has to defend it. It's not even an ego thing, it's just that you're attached to the ideas, so you have to defend it. Now, of course, you still have to be honest and listen to the other guy, make sure that you're really right, but it shouldn't affect you that you shouldn't be honest. But the thing is, and you should listen. But however, the thing is that when a person talks and expresses himself and is involved, you could tell that this is his nature, this is what he really wants. So it's the result, not the cause. When you get upset, when you, the question is about the argument, when you argue, sometimes it is true, it is an ego thing. The person, and it can't, and because once it's an ego thing, you can't listen to the other person. When you're getting upset and you're fighting for your idea, you see that, then it's not that he's attached to ideas, but he's attached to his ego, and that will blank him. That will blank him out. When you're attached to ideas and you see the truth of an idea, the idea is real, but that doesn't mean you're not open to new ideas. But at this time, it's real. Let's say it's real and you defend it, and then you find out that you're wrong. So the person will retract and will become, you know, he'll become just as involved in the new idea. Because what is real to him, he's very involved in it, very real, and it becomes an emotional thing. Yes, there is a difference between a person that defends himself for ego, then he's closed-minded. But however, if he defends himself not because of ego, but because he's attached to ideas, then he could still be involved and excited, but he could still be open to, he's also open to ideas still. The last part of the pasuk is Kosvei Maluach Libecha. Okay? So he says, what does it mean to write them on your heart? So he says that you should find ideas how to develop these ideas. In other words, you should work on you should look for aces, advice, or strategies of how to develop these ideas and to make it a part of you. Okay? That is what he means by that you should write it on your heart. The question is why you need a strategy for battling, for getting involved with these ideas. Okay, well, what's the strategy? The answer is like this. See, the strategy is what you need a strategy is because it's a real war. But the war is within you. There's two sides to you. Okay? There's one side that wants truth. There's a part of every person that wants to know the truth. Has a sense, a person has a sense of reality, and that sense of reality wants attached to the truth. There's another part that's afraid of reality. It doesn't want to know reality. It's afraid. That's why a large part of our personalities are made to make sure that we don't see truth. Cover up the truth. So therefore, we need a strategy of how to use these ideas in our personality. And sometimes there's difference in personalities where I have to start from what I have to do. Sometimes you could advise one person to go one way, another person a different way. And saying each person according to where the battle is, you see, needs a different strategy in operating and reaching these different ideas of Musa that we've been speaking about till now. In other words, the question is, what is the connection, the relationship between time around your neck, the speaking about it, and the strategy? What's the connection? The answer is review is part of the strategy, because when we review it, it affects you. The important thing is to review, not so much to remember, but that you should be effective. That's part of a strategy. That's a very general strategy for all people, that they should review these ideas. And once you have these ideas, then to apply it in the particular, then you need a strategy to apply it to the particular. In other words, the first half of the pasuk is talking about the universals, gaining the universals and gaining the knowledge of the universals. You have to have that. The application to the self, that's where the strategy is needed. Okay? We're retracting from the idea that it's two different strategies. It's two different aspects. One is learning the universals, and that you need review until the universals and the principles is a work. You'd have knowledge of them and know how to use them. Then you need a strategy to apply it to the self. You see, then you need a strategy to apply it to the self. So that's where the strategy comes in. That's to do with your particular personality. So there you need a strategy for your personal battle for your personal battle. The question is this: what does this have to do with the knowledge that you're talking about and the application? Any type of knowledge that is that you're trying to make a basic framework in which to operate, the knowledge should become second nature in which to operate. You understand? You're trying to change your personality. It is knowledge and then a battle how to fight the HRI. You understand? There's a strategy that you need. Pasuk Dalet says, "Matzachayim v'seichel tov b'nei yelakim v'yodam," that you have the trait of if you do all these things, you have the trait of chesed and emes, and you make it a part of you, and you make it second nature. So then you will find grace and good thoughts in the eyes of God and man. Okay, so the Rabbeinu Yonah breaks it down like this. He says, "Chayim." Is as a result of chesed you will find in the eyes of God and man, and seichel tov you will find in the eyes of God and man. Okay? You have the trait of emet. So then you will have seichel tov in the eyes of God and man. Okay? So the question is, what is he talking about? We have to say the first step that we must take in analyzing this is that there is one quality in a person that has chesed. Let's say chesed first. That has chesed, there's a quality in there that is acceptable by God and man. That there is one quality when you have the trait of chesed that is acceptable, that you are accepted by God and man. Question is, what is that quality? Because to have the trait of chesed, you cannot have any negative qualities. There's no negative traits. Okay? And the thing is, that is really what we mean by humility, where I just look at truth and reality and do what is right. So the thing is that people sense that. In other words, when you meet somebody, you could sense if he looks down on you, if he's competitive, he's an angry person, even if he doesn't scream and yell, there's a certain sense that you pick up, and definitely, well, if he starts speaking and these traits show up, definitely you turn to off. Okay? So therefore, those traits are acceptable by the, is recognized by the human. When you're talking to such a person, you feel a sense.